In your Bibles, please turn to the book of 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter. For Samuel chapter 10, we'll be reading verses 20 through 24, and in your Schofield Bible, page 329, these five verses we'll read responsively. 1 Samuel chapter 10, beginning with verse 20 and reading through verse 24. And let's please stand, all of us standing, for the reading of God's Word. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Verses 22 and 23 are the text verses. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. The Lord answered, Behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. And let's read verse 24 together, please. And Samuel said to all the people, See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. Let's pray. Father, it's certainly a privilege and a joy to hold in our hands a copy of thy word. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we're free to carry it to this place and assemble and to hear it preached. We pray for thy blessing now, thy spirit's power, upon preacher and listener alike, in Jesus' name, amen.
For almost a quarter of a century, I have stood on this corner preaching nearly every Sunday morning and nearly every Wednesday night and Sunday night. And many of you have heard me preach literally thousands of sermons. Numbers of you have heard me speak at least 10 times a week for almost a quarter of a century. I could take everything that I've said in these years and wrap it up in one little package and tell you why I'm doing it, why I'm preaching. And that is, I want you to do the will of God for your life. That's all. That's it. The will of God. That's the whole thing. Just to do the will of God. I don't think that we realize that God, in His wisdom, has planned our lives for us. And God has a plan for every person's life in this room. And all I want you to do is to find the will of God. I want to speak this morning on hiding in the baggage from the will of God. Hiding in the baggage from the will of God. Father, bless the message to our hearts today. Give me the attention of the people. I pray that I'll be able to gather their minds into one focus on this subject today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you, for about 3 or 4 minutes, listen intently on purpose? For I will use neither the weapon of humor or dynamics to keep your attention for a few minutes. It was the greatest day in the life of King of Saul. Saul was on this day to be crowned as the king of Israel. Samuel had already anointed him, and now is the time to place the crown upon his brow, and the scepter in his hand, and to place Saul on the throne of the greatest, most sacred nation on earth. Samuel made his speeches, and now it was time for Samuel, who was never king, but who anointed kings, to place the crown on the head of Saul. He turns to Saul, and Saul is not there. Why, this is the day when Saul is to be crowned. But they could not find Saul. Here was this young man chosen by God to lead his people, to sit on the throne of Israel, and yet he's not there. Where is Saul? What's he doing? Saul had left the gathering and had gone out to hide himself, the Bible says, among the stuff. But the word stuff there really means Saul is hiding himself among the baggage. You see, people were there from all over Israel and other countries had sent envoys. And now comes the time to place the crown upon the head, which is the event for which all had come. And Saul had gone out where the people had stacked their baggage and had hidden himself among the baggage. Why? I'll tell you why. Because Saul was interested in going back where he came from. Saul was hiding from the will of God. You see, are you listening? Saul had a will for his own life. The most dangerous thing a child of God will ever have is a will for his own life. And Saul had plans for himself. And he had a will. And he realized that the throne must sit on his brow, and that God had so planned it, but Saul did not want to do the will of God because it was not as pleasing to him as doing his own will. So Saul ran from the stand of coronation, hiding in the baggage in an effort to avoid becoming the king, which was the will of God for his life. Somebody asked the other day, he said, Brother House, what's the hardest thing you ever have done in your life? What is the hardest thing you've ever faced in your life? And I said quickly, I always answer it like this. The hardest thing I've ever done is the will of God. The will of God. You know, we have the idea that if we do the will of God, everything's going to be rosy, as we call being rosy. You've never had so much trouble in your life as you'll have when you get in the will of God. I mean, you've never had enemies like you're going to have when you start doing the will of God. I mean, the will of God is not some kind of a panacea or heaven on earth. The will of God is a task, a job, a duty, a work that God has chosen for you to do. And work is never pleasant to the slothful flesh and sweat and blood and tears and heartache. Always are in the will of God. But you know what? Though the will of God is the hardest thing in the world you'll ever do, it is the only place in the world you'll ever have peace. There's only one place in this world where a child of God will ever know peace, and that is doing the will of God. You don't know how to make yourself peaceful, and the psychiatrist doesn't know how to make you peaceful, and the psychologist doesn't know how to make you peaceful, but God knows how to give you peace. Now, it's not easy to do the will of God. It may mean poverty. It may mean a distant island somewhere with some heathen people who don't understand and would take your own life as their prey. It may be in some lonely place somewhere, pastoring some little country church, trying to make ends meet on a paltry salary. It may be sacrificing yourself and your dreams and your hopes and destroying your air castles. It may be that. But I want to say this morning, whether you like it or not, the only place in this world you're ever going to find peace is in the will of God. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed, but you can only be blessed and find peace and sweet rest when all on the altar is laid. The only place to fulfill life's purpose is the will of God. The only place to be safe is the will of God. Did you know when you're doing God's will, you're immortal? In the will of God, then doing the will of God, you are immortal. The devil can't destroy you if you're in the will of God. Only God's plan can destroy you. The only place to have security is in and doing the will of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Would you want security in recession days? You'll find it in the will of God. Do you want provision in depression days? You'll find them in the will of God. Do you want to have a guaranteed life's income? You'll find it in the will of God. I'm saying that there is a will for your life. Every single child in this room this morning, every single bus kid, every single rescue mission man, every single deaf person back here, every single person in this room, there is a plan charted in heaven by the omniscient God of gods and King of kings and for your life. Now, it wasn't easy, and Saul did not want the hard road. Saul wanted the easy road outside the will of God instead of the hard road inside the will of God. Saul did not want to suffer. Saul wanted his crowns now. This is not crowning day, folks. This is cross-bearing day now. Crowning day comes later. But Saul wanted crowns now. Saul wanted pleasure now. Saul wanted fun now. Saul wanted earthly desires satisfied now. And Saul hides himself among the luggage. It's the luggage. Or the baggage. Many a tear descended his cheek between this day and the battle of the Philistine archers when Saul was to give his life. Many a tear escaped his eyes between today and the arrow that wounded him from the Philistine soldier. Many an orphaned night he spent between this day and the time when he asked his armor bearer to take his spear and go ahead and finish the job, for Saul was wounded unto death. Many a timid step were taken by his reluctant feet between now and the day he had breathed his last breath. Many a controversy had raged between his heart and his mind between now and when the day he fell on his own sword and in the battle with the Philistines. Many were the times that load was larger than his shoulders were. What is the loveliest place in all the world, somebody asked? The will of God. I've seen the world. All of it I want to see. What is the loveliest scenery in the world, somebody asked? Is it Diamond Head, Waikiki, Hawaii with its rainbowed mountains and tropical plants? What is the loveliest place for the Hiles you've ever seen? Is it the sculptured peaks of the pyramidic Rocky Mountains? What is the most scenic and lovely, what is the loveliest scenery you've ever seen? Is it the technicolored plains of the Southwest? What is the loveliest scenery, Brother Hiles, you've ever seen? Is it the lakes of Minnesota sprinkled like tears of deity for our enjoyment? What is the loveliest scenery you've ever seen? Is it the lovely Florida Keys that have geographically seceded from the Union and have hidden themselves in a lovely, remote hideaway? What is the loveliest place you've ever seen, Brother Hiles? Is it the Alaskan glaciers framed by mountains so beautiful that only God is worthy to inhabit them? What is the loveliest place you've ever seen, Brother Hiles? Is it the desert painted with a sacred brush of deity and hallowed with a sacred hush of eternity? What is the most lovely place and the most beautiful scenery you've ever seen? What is it? Is it the lovely islands of the Caribbean where angels love to vacation? No, no, 10,000 times no. The most beautiful scenery in the entire world, and I mean this, is right down Sibley Street. Because that's the will of God for my life. May I say this, and I'm not boasting, but if I had decided to choose my own way, I could have chosen where I lived in this world. You'll forgive me for saying it, but there was a time in my life when I was younger that I could have had a church in any state in this union that I chose to serve. At the time when I was younger, and I do not know now, folks associate me with this church so much now, and I'm here to stay until you kick me out, until I kick you out, and it was the day when every door in this nation was open to me, and I could have chosen, had I so chosen, I could have chosen to accept the call of that church in Palm Beach, Florida years ago. I could have chosen to accept the call of that group in Hawaii that begged me to come as pastor years ago. I could have chosen to take that church down in the south part of Texas in the tropical climate. And I could have chosen years ago. I could have chosen most any place I wanted to choose. But you say, preacher, if you could choose to live anywhere, the most beautiful place to me is Hammond, Indiana. simply street in a lonely downtown section orphaned by fugitive businessmen. That's where for nearly a quarter of a century I've stood behind this pulpit, and I wouldn't trade the beauty of this street for all the trees of palms in Palm Beach, Florida, or all the loveliness of the beauty of Hawaii. Why? Because this is the will of God. This is God. These houses down Simply Street. To me, there are no houses in all the world as beautiful as the houses right down this street, because those houses God has chosen for me to drive by every night, late at night, when I leave and to go home to find a little rest. When I leave, that's the will of God for me. And I want you to know that the soot of this area is gold dust to me. Why? Because I am in the will of God. And the will of God is lovelier than the Hawaiian Islands. And the will of God is lovelier than the Keys of Florida. And the will of God is lovelier than the mountains of Colorado. Why? Because God, in His wisdom, has chosen a job for me to do. And I want to be where He wants me to be. Only to be where He wants me to be, every moment of every day, yielded completely to Jesus alone every step of this pilgrim way, just the clay in the potter's hands, ready to do what His Word commands, only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day. This, the soot of the Northwest Indiana steel mills, has been chosen by God to be my atmosphere. Some folks, there's no place you're going to be happy outside the will of God. There might be more money there, but there's no more happiness there. There might be more beauty there, but there's not happiness there. Oh, the will of God, the will of God, the will of God. And so Saul, hiding himself in the baggage, he didn't want to wear the crown. He had plans for his own life. He didn't want to hold the royal scepter. He had plans for his own life. He didn't want to grace the throne of Israel. He had plans for his own life. He didn't want to live where God wanted him to be. He had plans for his own life. Where are you hiding this morning? Who up here is hiding? Where are you hiding this morning? Where are you hiding? Who up there is hiding from the will of God? Hiding in the baggage of a heathen world. Who is it up here? Who is it here? Who up here is hiding? Who is it hiding the will of God? Who over here? Here, 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 here. Who is it hiding from God's will? You get out of the baggage and get in the center of the will of God and do God's will for your life. That's the only chance you've got for happiness. And the will of God, soot becomes gold dust, and slums become valuable antique heirlooms. And trains become chariots on parade, and the chug holes become health vibrators, and overcoats become royal robes, and earmuffs become regal crowns, because it's the will of God. I would not have chosen Chicago. 1957, I came here and preached and said, as I left town, that's the last place in the world I'd ever want to live. Last place in the world I'll ever live. Don't make fun of my area. I will, but don't you. Don't you folks in Florida make fun of our area. I wouldn't trade one block of Sibley for all of Palm Beach. I wouldn't trade one breath of soot for a lifetime of fresh air. Why? This is God's will. It may be a Livingston exploring the jungles of Africa. It may be a William Carey exploring the jungles of India. It may be a David Brainerd praying himself to death in the northern country for the Indians. It may be a lonely island somewhere in the South Seas. It may be being in Japan with our missionaries there, thinking of home this morning. It may be some little deserted place across the world, around the world. Ah, but the will of God. I've had the blessed consciousness now for all these years. Praise God. All these years, I've had the blessed consciousness of knowing I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. I'm standing this morning in the very spot that God ordained I would stand. On this February 21st, 1982. This is where God wants me to be. And I want to say this morning. There's a certain kind of a worldliness that's settling over this church. I don't mean drinking liquor. Not that kind. I don't mean maybe smoking cigarettes. Maybe not that kind. I don't mean Playboy philosophy. I don't mean that kind, or adult magazines, or adult bookstores. But there's a certain kind of a worldliness that's selling across this church. We have a right to do what we want to do. Some folks are hiding out there this morning. I hear a lot of talk about lots of job opportunities. It's time we talked about the opportunity of doing the will of God. I hear lots of talk about that. I always wanted to. So and so. I don't hear much talk about I want to do the will of God. I hear lots of talk about I could get a scholarship to play football. And I want to say to you football players, if I find out that our football players or coaches are choosing or counseling with students about certain schools to attend because of football scholarship, I'll go out there, tear off all the football uniform. The football program at Hammond Baptist High School is not made to prepare you for a football scholarship. It's made to prepare you for the will of God. That's all it's for. I ever hear about you basketball players choosing a school because a basketball scholarship, or you wrestlers choosing a school because a wrestling scholarship, I'll tiptoe out that high school and tear up the uniform. That's the way the heathen talk. That's the way the foolish people of the world talk. When you choose a college, it ought to be on your knees saying, "Oh my God, where would you have me go?" When you choose, I get a little weary about saying, "Boy, I'd like to go steady with her. She sure is cute." She'll be built like all the rest of them by the time she's 45. That's heathen talk. A wife or the chosen on your knees. Proposing. I mean praying. "Boy, I'd like to go with him. He sure is a hunk of man." You wait till that hunk of man comes out on top. Comes out in the middle. The hunk will still be there. It'll be a different shaped hunk, but it'll still be there. But Brother House, I've always wanted to, or it's in my blood, or I just don't want to be a... I hear it. I hear it! Well, I dream about it at night. You have no right to choose where you live. That's his business. You have no right to choose where you go to school. That's his business. You have no right to choose whom you marry. That's his business. You have no right to choose your vocation. That's his business. Come out of the baggage. Saul, come out of the baggage, Saul. You've been chosen by God. The will of God has been revealed for your life. Here is the will of God, Saul. And Saul lurks in the baggage, hiding from the will of God. And there are folk all over this room this morning, hiding in the baggage from the will of God. Saul refused to come out. There was a crown waiting for Saul, and there's a crown waiting for you if you'll get in the will of God. Hiding in the baggage. It won't matter when you stand before God what kind of climate they had where you lived. It won't matter when you stand before God what the salary was, or the wardrobe, or the environment. It won't matter when you stand before God what the bank account is. It will matter. Did you do God's plan? As I said last Sunday morning, I'm not preaching to preachers. I'm not preaching just to students. I'm not preaching just to young people. I'm preaching to every single person in this room whose name, the name of Christ, is your Savior. I have no right to live where I want to live. I had chosen my own life. I had it all planned. I had it all planned. I was going to be a sports writer. When I was a little lad, 12 years of age, I entered into a national contest writing an essay for a sports contest, writing an essay for the Cotton Bowl game on New Year's Day in Dallas. Grantland Rice, the most famous sports writer who ever lived from New York City, was the fellow in charge of the contest. Applications or entries from all over America were turned in. I was a poor little kid, picked up an old newspaper and wrote on the newspaper an imaginary interview with Lou DeFilippo, the captain of the Fordham team, who was coming to play in Texas A&M in the Cotton Bowl New Year's Day. We didn't have a telephone, but late one night, the folks across the street came over and woke me up. And they said, Jack, they said, there's a call for you from New York City. Can you imagine a little poor kid in the ghetto getting a call from New York City? I thought New York City was 17 million miles away. And I ran over across the street in the middle of the night, and the voice said, is this Jack Hiles? I said, yes, it is. He said, you won the nationwide contest that's having the outstanding essay on football of any boy in the entire United States of America. They put me in a little old outfit and provided by Mr. Jim Knox, the owner of the Knox Gelatin Company. He gave me a lovely sweater, said to Jackie Boy Hiles from Jim Knox. They put me on the big fire truck, and I led the parade downtown Dallas on New Year's Day, the Cotton Bowl game. I was on nationwide radio before television. 169 stations interviewed with the captain of the Fordham football team, and Grantland Rice, the famous sports writer, on 169 stations. I sat with the team on the bench on New Year's Day as their mascot. My picture was in practically every newspaper in this country, and my voice on practically every radio station. I was 12 years old, an old kid out of the ghetto. I'll never forget how they wined me and dined me. And then the game was over, Brother Claire. And they went to the locker room, and I was left sitting there on that bench. And I didn't have enough car fare to go home. And I said, where is Grantland Rice? Where is Lou DeFilippo? Where is Jim Crowley? One of the four horsemen of Notre Dame was coach of the Fordham team. Where is Jim Crowley? And I sat there by myself on that little old seat at the bench in the Cotton Bowl game of 75,507 people left, and nobody cared who I lived or died, and went to a house and knocked on the door of a house I'd never seen and told the lady I didn't have car fare to go home, asked if I could borrow enough money, and I had to get me a lawnmower and mow her yard so I could borrow enough money. Ladies and gentlemen, that's always the way the devil leaves you. That's all the world has to offer! I wanted to be a sports writer. Had it all planned. I wanted to be a sports announcer. I entered into a contest announcing with thousands of boys, announcing in a contest who could announce a part of a professional baseball game. I won the contest. I sat beside Bill Stern, the famous old announcer, the most famous sports announcer in the world, sat beside Bill Stern on radio. Just a little kid of a boy. Announced a baseball game, professional baseball game. I grew up and loved baseball. Brooklyn Dodgers offered me a contract not to be on their main team at that age. I was just a kid, but they were going to send me to one of their farm teams and so they thought I could work my way up and play on the big team. And then one day, I heard a voice saying, I want you to be a preacher. And I hid in the baggage. I can't preach! I'm a poor little kid. Hidden the baggage. And God came looking for me. I feel sorry for sports announcers and sports writers. I feel sorry for the Dodgers and all the other athletes because I wouldn't trade these years of standing behind this pulpit and others across this land for all the money that Dodgers have or the Cotton Bowl has all put together. I hid in the baggage. The Holy Spirit came in 1959 and said, Jack, I want you to go to Hammond. I hid in the baggage. I didn't want to come. I hid in the baggage. The Holy Spirit came in the baggage where I was hiding, searching me out. I don't want to go. I'm settled in Texas, my home state for life. I don't want to go. I hid in the baggage. Saul got tired in the baggage. You know, you can get tired of he's a big fella. You can get tired of on your knees after a while. And you get tired of being hooped down like this. And the Bible says Saul stood up. When Saul, listen now, when Saul stood up, the Bible says he was stood up away above the baggage because Saul was head and shoulders taller than any other of the people. Saul, you're too big a man for the baggage. You're too big for the baggage. And they found him because he stood up among the baggage. Young people, you're too big this morning for the baggage of the world. You're too big! Sure. Anybody would love to stay in this home area? When they sit, play the Star Spangled Banner, I sometimes forget to stand. But I always stand when they play The Eyes of Texas are upon you. I never thought I'd say this. I mean it. You couldn't make me live in Texas again. You couldn't make me. I love those flat black lands of North Texas. I love those rolling plains out west where you can see forever as you drive and where at nighttime, 40 miles away, you can see the lights of a town that you're approaching. I love it. It's in my blood, but I wouldn't live there. I used to say when I came here, I don't mind living in the Chicago area. I don't mind dying here. But I don't want you to bury me here. Because I want my body to turn to dust when I die, not to soot. But I've changed my mind. Bury me here. And just have the preacher, when he gives the committal, say, from dust thou was, and to soot thou shalt return. I know this is not the Garden of Eden. This is the Garden of Eden. The Bible has said man was made from the soot of the ground. But just put me somewhere. You can put me in a vault right beneath this pulpit if you want to. Or you can put me at the entrance of Hiles Anderson College if you'd like. Or you can put me at the entrance of our Memory Lane Cemetery or in the mausoleum if you'd like. But put me somewhere close by. That's been the will of God for my life all these years. Don't hide in the baggage. Don't hide in the baggage. Oh, the baggage is beautiful. There are not many trials in the baggage. Not many heartaches in the baggage. There's travel in the baggage. But there's joy in the will of God. There's a crown waiting for you this morning. Well, you won't get it yet. You won't get it yet. It'll be a while before you get it, but there's a crown waiting for every child of God who live in the will of God. Where are you hiding this morning? Are you hiding in the well-watered plains with Lot? Huh? Are you hiding in the well-watered plains? Lot said, "These this land up here in around... where Abraham is and the wilderness, it won't harvest a crop. Give me the well-watered plains toward Sodom. I can raise better crops there. Where are you hiding? Are you hiding in prosperous Moab with Naomi and Elimelech? Where are you hiding? Are you hiding in luxurious Egypt with Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar? Where are you hiding? Are you hiding in Haran with Jacob 500 miles outside the will of God? Are you hiding by Satan's fire with the Apostle Peter? Where are you hiding? Are you hiding in a boat with Jonah? Where are you hiding? Are you hiding in the far country with the prodigal son? Wherever it is, it's baggage. And they came and they got Saul. And they placed the crown, I'm through with this. They placed the crown upon his head. They placed the royal robe around his shoulders, put him on the throne. They put a diamond-studded golden scepter in his hand to hold as a symbol of his power and rule. And Saul said, "I don't want it. I don't want it." I'm going to tell you something. I don't think Saul had as much fun in his life in the will of God as he would have had he not left the baggage. Hear what I said? I think there might be more fun outside the will of God.
I don't think that Saul enjoyed his life as much as he would have enjoyed his life
had he stayed in the baggage. Hear me now. But I think he's enjoyed eternity more. I had a man sit across the desk from me, a table from me, in a restaurant, the Mercantile Bank cafeteria restaurant in Dallas, Texas, looked across the desk from me and said, "If you'll do one thing, I'll give you $250,000. And I said, "I don't want $250,000. I just want to do the will of God." I had a man sit across from me in Dallas, Texas one day. He said, "If you'll let me put your name on our secular company, and if you'll let me and give me one day a week of your organizational ability, and if you'll give me one good day a week of advising my firm, I'll pay you $100,000 a year for one day a week." And I said, "Sir, I don't want $100,000 a year. I just want to do the will of God." As you know, I have in my drawer right now, over in my office, have a title deed made out to me, my name on it, for a big apartment house in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Russell Anderson gave it to me, I guess, 15 years ago. I imagine it's worth probably $200,000 now. It'd be worth a guaranteed income for the rest of my life that support me and my family the rest of my life. He said, "Dr. Tiles, all you have to do is just sign that deed and it's yours." That's been over there 15 years as a souvenir, unsigned. I don't want an apartment house. I just want to do the will of God. I don't have any money. I really don't. I get a lot of it. Give it away. I don't have anything. But since I was 10 years old, almost 11, I've had the awareness of knowing I was where God meant me to be, doing what God meant me to do. Get out of the baggage! Get out of the baggage! Get out of the baggage! Quit hiding in the baggage! Get out of the baggage! Get out! 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 There's a will of God. And though it won't bring you as much money as the baggage will, though it won't bring you as much fun as the baggage will, it'll bring you an eternity of rewards. Only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day. Yielded completely to Jesus alone every step of this pilgrim way. 100 years from now, that's all that's going to matter. You know who you are. You know who you are. You know who you are. Hiding in the baggage. Father, bless them.